Our fourth case for this morning is Shengen Liu against Eric Holder. Mr. Tutsunitsuki.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Assistant Attorney General. My name is Oli Tutsunitsuki, and I represent the petitioner, Shengen Liu. In this case, the Board of Immigration Appeals erred when it found that Mr. Liu did not experience past persecution because of his resistance to China's coercive family planning policies. And the Board of Immigration Appeals also erred when it found that he did not have a well-founded fear of future persecution because of his practice of Falun Gong in the United States. With regard to the first claim, the board stated that the fact that petitioner had been beaten, that he had experienced some injuries, and that he fled from the family planning officials did not rise to the level of persecution.
Well, what it actually says is the harm that he testifies to, a beating including being struck twice for which he did not require medical attention, doesn't rise to the level of persecution. So the board has always in these cases a line drawing problem. We can imagine, you know, that a slap isn't persecution and that a beating that puts you in the hospital is, and you know, somewhere in the middle there are other things that are certainly not good behavior but that may not be persecution. Isn't it the board's job to figure out where that line is?
Oh, I don't dispute that, Your Honor. However, in this case, there was another element that the board didn't discuss, and that is that the petitioner ran away, and while he was in hiding, the police or the family planning officials came to his home to look for him, seeking to arrest him. So I think there's another element here that.
So do you think an arrest had he been arrested? Suppose he hadn't gotten away. So they strike him twice, and they arrest him and put him in jail for a while. Maybe he makes bail or something. Do you think the arrest would convert it into persecution, or would there need to be more?
Well, I submit that that would be enough because that would be continuing harm. It will certainly be more than one incident, which the board also states that there was only one incident that occurred and nothing happened afterwards.
So in your view, it wouldn't make any difference if he wound up spending 2 days in jail under an arrest like that, or a year, or anything else? I'm not sure that that's supported, so I'm just trying to figure out how far you're trying to go with this.
I can't say what number of days of detention would make a difference, but the board did not consider the fact that the government was looking for him to arrest him. So there was.
I mean, suppose they found. I'm just trying to say we've had cases where we've considered the fact that people who violate the family planning laws in Fujian province pay fines, and if there's a child that results, sometimes the child can't be registered, and there are a variety of things that go into this, but it's the finding of persecution is, I mean, you're looking here for significant resistance to the family planning policies, and what we have is minor injuries and running away.
Hey, well, also, it's arguable whether the injuries are minor in that I can see that the record was not developed very well.
But well, that's a problem for you, isn't it?
Yes, except that the immigration judge could have asked some follow-up questions to try to draw up more details as well, and the government could have attempted to do that. Because the respondent did testify that his aunt treated him by applying medicine to his wounds. So there were some kind of injuries.
So it looks like he's represented both before the immigration judge and before the board, Gerald Karakari.
Yes, that's correct, John.
So there's some responsibility on his part to develop this evidence.
Yes, I agree. But I also think that the immigration judge and the government have some responsibility also. If they have problems with the state of the evidence that's being presented.
Well, it's his burden to show his eligibility for the different forms of relief he's looking for, asylum, etc. So, I don't know. I mean, you got a lot in some ways from the board. The board rejects the adverse credibility finding, but it says, you know, even if we believe every word you say, it's just not persecution. And the Falun Gong business is difficult for other reasons.
Yes, I wanted to address the second claim also. In that case, with regard to that claim, the board actually made an error. It stated that petitioner did not state whether he would practice Falun Gong in China or not, and that's incorrect. The petitioner did state that he would practice Falun Gong in China.
But doesn't think the Chinese know that he's... And we don't know what practice means. I guess if he was sitting in his home meditating, that's one thing. If he's out there in public, that might be a different thing.
Okay, I submit that that doesn't make any difference because this court has found that according to the U.S. State Department reports, it doesn't matter whether the practice is private or public. It's still forbidden and... persecuted by the Chinese government. In addition, in this specific case, the board said it gave very little weight to the sister's letter that the government, the police officers had come to her house and stated that they knew that petitioner practiced Falun Gong and she should warn him to stop. But there's additional evidence here in that the petitioner introduced photos of himself distributing Falun Gong flyers in New York, a very public activity. And I think it's clear from that that there's at least a strong possibility that the Chinese government would be aware that he practiced Falun Gong.
There's the board... doesn't find that. The board says that although the immigration judge is wrong to think that there's no evidence that the Chinese authorities know about it, says it's clearly erroneous in light of the letter from the sister saying that they found out about it, but they find that that letter, that it's bad evidence, basically, that there is some evidence, but it warrants little evidentiary weight because of the kind of letter it is. And he testifies he doesn't know if the authorities are aware of it. So they conclude from that he has not met his burden to show a well-founded fear of persecution on that ground either. And, of course, that would be a going-forward ground since he only picked up Falun Gong after he came to the United States.
That's correct. I want to point out that the petitioner has no way of knowing for sure that the Chinese government is aware of his practice of Falun Gong. I don't know how he could be expected to know that. But the board never mentioned these photos of him distributing Falun Gong flyers on the street in public areas. And I think that's a very important omission in the board considering whether or not he would face a well-founded fear of future persecution because of his practice of Falun Gong in China.
Did he testify that he wished to practice Falun Gong in public in China?
No, he just stated that he wished to practice Falun Gong. He didn't mention where. So the board is correct with that in that respect. He didn't mention where.
If you want to save a minute, that's fine.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Sure.
Mr. Palau?
Good morning, Your Honors. May I please the Court, Manuel Palau, for the respondent in this case, the Attorney General.
So I have a question for you, Mr. Palau, and it relates to the, really more to the Falun Gong part of the case than the coercive family planning part. It seems reasonable to me to think that the Chinese government, if it has any interest in it, is able to see the court records of people like Mr. Liu, who are seeking asylum in the United States. And in a case like this, where there's some question whether they're aware of his adoption of a way of thought that they persecute, and they certainly do, the various reports from the State Department and so on suggest that there is persecution. Looks like this is sort of a big red advertisement that, you know, here's a person who, if, you know, when we send him back, is going to be a Falun Gong person. So is there any effort made to protect the privacy of people who can't show a future, you know, a real risk of future persecution? No past persecution, but this kind of makes it a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? I mean, he's going to be known as a Falun Gong person thanks to this.
Your Honor, I can't. I'm not personally familiar with the procedures used by the Immigration Court or the Board to protect the privacy, except I know you can request that records be sealed, but I would point to your previous assessment that the burden of proof here is on the petitioner, Mr. Liu.
And I'm just saying, if this were SL versus Holder and everything else was the same, then if it indeed the board is correct that he's removable and that he shouldn't get asylum, he can go back and tuck into China, however, or Fujian province or wherever else he may go, without additional risk. But I just wonder, you know, this is a matter of public record. Anybody who wants to can come look at this court's website and see that he's a Falun Gong practitioner.
Yes, Your Honor, but there's no evidence of record that the Chinese government engages in that practice. That's pure speculation, and that's exactly why he failed to meet his burden of proof here. He didn't.
But don't you need to go to the Chinese government as part of the actual removal process and get documentation for people who are sent back? You don't just dump them in the middle of the Shanghai airport.
No, we don't do that. I believe ICE goes and gets travel documents from the government.
Exactly, from the Chinese government.
Correct.
So their attention is called to the fact that there is such a person. And I'm it seems plausible to me that they might wonder, why are they sending you back? You know, which point they can find out easily.
Well, again, Your Honor, with all due respect, you're going, I get your points and your concern. The problem is none of that's in the record. And if that were in the record, that might change the outcome, or that might perhaps cause you to believe that the evidence compels the opposite conclusion.
I'm addressing this at a different level, which is to assume for the sake of argument right now that the government prevails. But I'm worried in cases like this, this isn't the only one I've seen, that the government is actually placing people in danger who wouldn't have been in danger but for the United States government's decision to remove them.
Well, I think that's putting a lot of responsibility on the government. I mean,
if you can just do it by using initials, which the board does a lot, look at all these board decisions. Matter of HLH and ZYZ, that's completely protective of the individual.
Well, I assume that Mr. Liu, who was represented by counsel, could have requested that the case be captured in that manner. I'm having a little difficulty with your question, only because I don't want to misrepresent the actual procedures used below. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they are. I don't practice before the
okay.
Immigration
Court.
That's
fine.
I get your concern. My more immediate issue here is, of course, with the decision rendered by the board. And as you noted, there's been no past persecution of Mr. Liu based on his practice of Falun Gong. So it was his burden of proof to demonstrate that he had there's no doubt that he has a subjectively genuine fear of returning. What's missing is that whether that concern is objectively reasonable. And this court itself, in the Chen decision, 705 F3rd at 624, held under very similar fact pattern that the evidence did not compel the conclusion that there was the government of China would find out that an individual who practiced Falun Gong in the U.S. for the first time in his home and said he would practice if he returned to China in his house or perhaps outdoors at his farm. He also presented photographs of him distributing Falun Gong literature reportedly. And again, like Mr. Liu, had a letter from a relative saying, the government knows about your practice. this court concluded that that did not compel the conclusion that there was an objectively reasonable fear of future persecution on account of the practice of Falun Gong. In dicta, this court did say in that case that if the petitioner had said, I'm going to practice in public, that might have changed the equation. We don't have that here. That wasn't present in the Chen case either. So, as you mentioned before, these are assessments made by the board, and the burden of the review standard here is that it must compel the conclusion. That's on the other family, other resistance claim, but I think there's just a lack of evidence here to show that his fear is objectively reasonable. It could happen, of course. That's speculation, that's possibility, but he's got to show a well-founded fear to prevail under the Immigration and Nationality Act. Regarding the first claim, the family planning claim, I would point out again, there's a similar case on point by the on point by this court, the Zhu decision, very similar, a single altercation with family planning officials. In that case, the alien testified that he was hit with a brick, sustained a cut that required 7 stitches. There was no further contact. So that in a single incident case like that, this court yet again held that the evidence did not compel the conclusion that that rose to the level of persecution. Here, Mr. Liu's testimony, as counsel acknowledged, is very thin. What this court looks for in determining whether the evidence compels the opposite conclusion is detailed and specific evidence so it can assess the severity of the mistreatment. And here, he only testified that he had a single altercation. He testified that he sustained unspecified injuries. It's undisputed that he did not seek medical attention from a doctor or a hospital. And he went to his aunt's house where she treated him with apparently over-the-counter drugs for a week. And there's no detail about what his aunt did for him during that week to treat him. The problem is the specific and detailed evidence this court needs to compel the opposite conclusion is simply not in the record. So we would submit that the court should affirm the denial of asylum on the other resistance piece of the claim because of the, under the substantial evidence standard of review, and the court should also affirm the board's denial of asylum based on Falun Gong because that's a well-founded fear case, and the evidence of record just does not support the conclusion that Mr. Liu's fear of persecution in China in the future based on his practice of Falun Gong is objectively reasonable. I would note that his practice here in the U.S., where it is legal, obviously, and not the source of persecution, was solely inside his house. And counsel is correct that the board, in its opinion, did not miss the fact that he did say he would practice, but the board also acknowledged that even if so, he said he was going to practice. He didn't say where or how he was going to do it. He provided no evidence on how the government might find out about his practice in his house. And as you note, Your Honor, it's possible, certainly, that the government of China perhaps might find out through these proceedings. But again, that's a possibility and not an objectively reasonable basis. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. You have about a minute, Mr. Tutsunisi.
I'd just like to distinguish the Chen case that was cited by the government from this case. In that case, there was no evidence nor testimony that the petitioner gave out flyers, Falun Gong flyers in public. Actually, what was present in that case was that the petitioner had filed a motion to remand back to the immigration court so that he could introduce photos of himself at a rally, at a Falun Gong rally. And the board found that since there was no description regarding these photos and no foundation, it denied the motion to remand in that case. But in this case, we actually had photos at the hearing in the immigration court, and the petitioner did testify about them. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.